Welcome to Desperate Parents of Hollywood with Greg and Stephanie Blum.
Why are we calling it that, though?
Because we hate living in Hollywood.
Then why are we here?
I don't know. Do you text while you drive?
No, I do not.
You better not.
I talk while I drive, though.
I asked you not to do that.
But I put it on speaker.
And what do you do, hold it in your hand?
I put it on the middle.
Yeah, it works?
Yeah, I just have to talk louder.
I still wish you wouldn't do that, though.
Okay.
No.
Can I get it hooked up to the phone?
It doesn't matter.
Why can't I have it hooked up to the phone?
I told you it's not safe to drive and talk on the phone.
Okay.
You can't concentrate on driving and talking at the same time. Just like you can't talk on the phone and listen to me at the same time, which is what you're doing right now. Get off the phone. What are you doing? Put the phone. Shut the phone off.
No. What if someone needs me?
So leave it on, but don't look at it. Just don't leave the screen on.
I can't not look at it.
What's wrong with you? You're afraid you're going to miss something?
I'm obsessed like the teenagers.
You're like a Facebook junkie.
No, I'm
not.
Put
it down.
I'm so not a Facebook junkie.
Please put the phone.
I'm trying to turn off my ringer so it doesn't bother us. You know, you're picking on me lately too much. And I have a lot going on.
So?
What? Everyone has cancer around me.
Oh, that's nonsense. Don't say everyone.
I checked my bone density, though. It's good. Somebody wrote to us. Did you see on a Facebook about how much they loved us?
No.
From Brazil, I think.
Oh, kidding.
No. He said he loves us.
Oh, that's so sweet. Finally, somebody writes to us. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Wait, let's look him up.
I'm going to look him up right now.
And then someone else said, don't talk about Brazil or I won't listen. Oh, it was the same guy.
Brazil?
Did he ever talk about Brazil?
No.
Oh.
He probably has the wrong show.
No, he's really no. He knows us.
Which what was it under? Stephanie and Greg?
I don't know. It came to my Facebook.
Holy crap! We got 7 messages.
We did. Why don't you check so we know?
I check it every. I haven't checked it today. I checked it yesterday.
Wow! Who wrote us? Did they tell us they love us?
Kathy.
Kathy. Yeah, she was
Steph,
very sweet.
Steph, I'm sorry to hear about your friend passing
yes,
away.
Thank
that
you,
nasty
Kathy.
Cancer took my sister also.
I'm sorry, Kathy. I'm so sorry. It's very scary because as we get older too, people are just getting sick and things are happening and people's parents are passing away or getting sick. I feel it's really around me a lot now and it's scary trying to stay healthy and but you never know. That's the scary part. So I think that you got to live each day to its fullest. So that's why you shop as much as possible.
Hey.
Because what are you going to do with the money when you're dead anyway?
No.
Why shouldn't you enjoy life? Like I bought a beautiful bicycle that she didn't have a bicycle. It's not like she has 10 bicycles. I bought her a beautiful bicycle. And you would say, she doesn't need a bicycle. She can use Lonnie's bicycle.
I did say that.
But you know what? She should have her own bicycle. We're not like poverty stricken where 2 kids can't have their own bike. They're
but
not
the
like $400 bicycles. They're $89 bicycles.
The first one doesn't use her bicycle. She's had it since she was born.
But she's going to start using it now because she wants to ride with Maya. Okay?
No.
So, listen.
All right, listen. Okay.
My kid, if I die tomorrow, God forbid, I want to be able to see my children enjoy themselves.
Right.
And ride a bicycle.
Last week, we mentioned that Stephanie's friend died, your friend died. And we
went. She's 40 years old.
We went to the funeral, and it was really sad. We're only going to talk about this for a minute, and then we'll move on because I don't want to talk about death the whole show. But I got a lot out of it. I got a lot out of going to the funeral about appreciating life and living life to its fullest.
Yes.
And I agree with you, but there's also a balance of delayed gratification. You have to assume that you are going to live. You can't assume that you're going to die.
I think you're better off living like you're going to die because then you really, really get life.
Okay.
Seriously.
In what way? Buying everything you
no,
want?
No. Enjoying the moment. Having the most fun, thinking like sometimes the kids are like, oh, can you look at this every second? Not sometimes, every second they're like, look at this, look at me, look at my drawing.
Yeah.
Come here. And you know what? A lot of times I go, one minute, or I can't right now, I'm busy. And a lot of times I think, I'm going to go because I don't know if I'll always be able to go, and I want to go. And what? Yesterday I was buying a tablecloth for Noah.
One second.
Wait a minute. I got to finish my thought. So yesterday I was buying a tablecloth for Noah for his school. He had a school luncheon, and I was in Party City, and I was thinking, you know, Chris is never going to be able to do this. Like, she's never going to be able to buy anything for her kids again. She's probably happy, though, I mean, in heaven. But sad that she's not here.
You're making up a bunch of crap, and you have no idea what you're talking about.
I feel bad that those kids are never going to have her mom.
That's
nobody
different.
Loves you like a mother.
Of
nobody.
Course. I know that. You went on 800 different tracks, and what you first said was about spending money.
Yes.
There's a difference between...
No, what I said was I bought our little daughter a bicycle.
Right, but you said you shouldn't keep your money. You should spend your money because you don't know if you're going to
continue. Well, not go crazy, but I'm saying don't go nuts about should I, shouldn't I. About a bicycle. Should I buy it? Shouldn't I buy it? Should I buy it? Shouldn't I buy it?
Well, you shouldn't be like that about anything. You should
Well, I am like that about everything.
You should make powerful decisions. You know that.
I like that with everything.
Powerful choices.
I powerfully bought a bicycle.
So, but are you saying now that you were waffling about it first?
Yes, because I knew you'd be like...
Well, why don't you talk to me?
No, I don't want to talk to you about anything anymore. I'm making my own decisions. I'm not codependent. I don't need to ask you everything.
Oh. You know I'm going to... Okay. Put your phone down. Put the phone down. What are you doing? Shut it off.
I got a text.
Turn off the screen. Thank you. Oh, Jesus.
So what did our friend say? Anyone say anything?
One second.
Hold on. I need ADD medication. What did our friend say?
The other thing that I thought was very good at the funeral was the poem that they...
The Dash.
The Dash, which is a well-known poem.
We all
poem.
Know about that
Oh, everybody
poem.
Knows that
well,
poem?
Well, not everyone. I know about it because a lot when my mom passed away, people sent it to me. It's a beautiful poem called The Dash.
Well, then I'm not going to read it. Let people look it up.
No, read it.
Really?
Because I didn't know about it until my mom died. So, but it's a very popular poem. So read it. Because a lot of people may not have heard it. And it's really beautiful.
Okay. And then I want to read one really, really short poem that I like.
Okay.
Because I hate poems to begin with.
Are you
gonna never
cry?
Liked poems. No.
Okay.
I heard this poem. Remember those videos that we used to get for the kids when they were babies?
No.
That series that lady made and got really rich, and then Disney bought her out.
Oh yeah, Einstein,
baby Einstein.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had a poem on there that blew me away.
Really?
It didn't make me cry. It's just one of those things that it's just so perfect. It makes you. It's like seeing a new red Ferrari drive by. You're like, you have to look at it because it's so multifaceted and just...
Can you give me another analogy? Because I don't care about a Ferrari.
A giant black man with a bulge in his pants.
No, don't care about that either.
A donut shop with a big glass window.
Yes, okay. That I'll look at. Listen, let's recap a little bit from what you learned from the funeral, because I didn't really get it.
I'm telling you that I
What did you get? You live in the present.
Well, I know
so
all
what
of that
did you learn?
Stuff.
What did you learn from the funeral?
Well, one of the most moving things was the doctor.
Oh, yeah. That
The woman, as some of you may know, Stephanie posted on Facebook that they were looking for a drug.
That was in trial.
That was in trials, and that so that they could get it to her friend Carissa before she passed away. And it turned out the doctor couldn't get the drug, and he's one of the most connected guys in the industry, including like being the chairman
he's
of
like the chief
pharmaceutical board of review or whatever, and he couldn't get it. And the husband got this drug for his wife 3 days before she passed away.
Right.
And they did administer it, didn't
yes,
they?
Yes, they did on a Saturday, she passed on Tuesday.
Could you talk a little quieter so
they
no one
administer
can hear?
They administered it on Saturday, and she passed away on Tuesday.
Anyway, so the doctor comes up at the funeral, and he starts speaking, and he was really speaking from the heart, and he apologized. He said it's his fault. He says he's the only one who's can be responsible for doing being able to do anything, and he couldn't.
And he felt like a failure.
He felt like a failure, and he started crying. And he,
oh, it was so sad.
And he felt so... He felt
really connected to the family, too.
Right, because he never saw so many people working so hard to try and keep somebody alive and to get this medication.
And it was like over a 10-month period that he knows them.
And, you know, that part, a lot of it has to do with the fact that there's two small children involved.
Right.
And, you know, you want to do everything you can to keep the mommy alive.
Right.
So there's a poem called The Dash. Who read it at the funeral?
The brother. Kevin's brother.
All right, the husband's brother. So you want me to read it?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to read it fast, though, because I'm not going to read it, like, emotionally. I got to put my glasses on. Is that in the poem?
Can you read it nicely, though? Don't rush. It's a beautiful poem.
It's better. Listen. People are very smart. They can understand things without, you know, reading slowly. They're not retarded. The Dash by Linda Ellis. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all... Put the phone down! How dare you tweet while I'm dashing?
I wasn't tweeting.
Stop. Close the phone.
How'd you see me?
I have eyes. He noted that...
Now you have to start over.
No, but... you have to write on the board 100 times. I will not play with my phone during the show.
I will not play with myself during the show.
No. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on Earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live in love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel and be less quick to anger. Are you looking at your watch? Wait, I have to be less quick to anger. Oh, Stephanie, please don't look at your watch while I'm reading a death poem. And be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives.
Yes.
Like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash?
It's beautiful. I'm sorry I interrupted it. If
you interrupted it twice.
All right. If people would like to read it by themselves in a quiet setting without me... look it up. It's called The Dash. By who?
Linda Ellis. So, the other thing was the poem that I wanted to read. It's just really, really short. Green is Gold.
Did you find who wrote to us?
No.
I wanted to mention
I'm going to look up Facebook and see who wrote to us in a moment. Because once you look at it, it disappears from the notifications and I have to find it.
Okay.
It's called Nothing Gold Can Stay by Robert Frost. You know who Robert Frost is?
Yes.
Nothing gold can stay. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold, her early leaf's a flower, but are you yawning? How dare you?
Pony, I'm lit. My eyes are closed and I'm listening. Why?
You're yawning. It's seven lines, this poem.
Greg, when you yawn, it means that you're just tired and your brain is not getting enough oxygen.
That you're ignoring me.
I am not ignoring you. My eyes are closed and I'm listening.
Is it encouraging to me?
I can't help it. What should I do? I'm facing you. I'm listening.
You turned away and yawned.
I'm listening.
At least you turned away.
That's right. I turned away so I didn't yawn into the phone. Here comes another one. All right.
Now I have to start over. Nothing gold can stay.
God.
Nate, don't make me laugh. Hey. Nature's first green is gold, her hardest hue to hold, her early leaf's a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf subsides to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. So dawn goes down to day, nothing gold can stay. I got the willies from that.
You did? What does that mean to you?
Well, it's one of those things, you know, you kind of have to read it a few times.
What does it mean to you? What do you get from it?
Well, it means that nature's first green is gold. In other words, in the morning, I mean, from on a literal perspective, in the morning, the first color that you see is gold. But it doesn't last long because it's her hardest hue to hold because it disappears in the daytime. And her early leaf's a flower. In other words, a flower blooms, but only for an hour. Because then leaf subsides to leaf. Like there's a cycle. Mm-hmm. Every year the flowers bloom and then they die mm-hmm. and then they bloom again. Mm-hmm. Which is the same as life.
Mm-hmm.
So Eden sank to grief. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Well, it means that from
is
a religious...
Eden? Adam and Eden?
Yeah,
Eve?
Yeah. From a religious...
The Garden of Eden?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because... It's like Eden was the perfect place on earth
mm-hmm.
until man destroyed it
mm-hmm.
by his actions. Same thing. Eden sank to grief because something died for the first time. Are you reading? What are you doing now?
Nothing. Why are you so...
All right. Never mind. You don't even give a crap about this.
What are you talking about? Did you take your medication?
I took double.
You're like really paranoid and weird today. I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting here minding my own business.
No, you were looking at your crotch. What's
so
going
what?
On?
What's your business with my crotch?
What's going on down there?
I was just looking down. Why are you so involved in my actions? Just worry about yourself. Keep your hands
well, anyway,
to yourself.
I think it's an amazing poem.
But I don't get the Eden part. Can you explain it?
So Eden sank to grief. It's about loss
yeah.
and human beings and right. feelings and meaning. That's, you know, that's the line in the poem that relates it to humans, to us. Otherwise, it's just a poem about a leaf and a flower.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about us too. I mean, mm-hmm. you could see that you could make believe it's about us. But with that line,
mm-hmm.
it gives so much by saying, so Eden sank to grief.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, flowers don't grieve.
Mm-hmm.
Humans grieve.
Yes.
And Eden is where the first man and woman were.
Yes.
And it was a perfect place and it was a garden. And that's when man died for the first time. People died. People learned about death in the Garden of Eden. That was death for the first time. That's anyway, you understand what I'm saying, don't you?
Yep.
All right. You're listening to the Stephanie and Greg Show on Talk Radio X. Stephanie at stephanieandgregshow.com. And so what else? Oh, the Facebook. Now, who wrote, do you know where it was?
Let me look. Can I look at
Oh, here it is. Reynaldo Años Marquez. Writing from Vagina, Massachusetts. He lives in Vagina.
He lives in Vagina?
Oh,
wait, where?
God.
In Brazil?
Minas Gerais.
Don't make fun of Brazil, he said.
Vagina, Brazil? Oh, that's why. Well, if you live in a place called Vagina.
Is it really Vagina?
You tell me what this what this says.
V-A-R?
G-I-N-H-A.
I don't know. That's why you said don't
Vargina.
Make fun.
Vagina.
All right,
Vargina.
So let's not make fun of it. Everyone has their place. Everyone lives in a certain place. What did he write?
I'm not making fun of it, but
what
it's
did he write to us? Something nice.
He lives in a vagina. Lucky bastard. Hi, guys. I was listening to you guys a couple of days ago on Talk Radio X. Thank you. Talk Radio X is the only station we're on exclusively. Oh my God, how I laughed. And you said you'd like to know who was listening. Here in Brazil, me and a friend of mine recorded and we listen all day long. We love you. The problem is if you say something about Brazil, I won't listen.
Oh, see? Now you've screwed up. You better cut that out.
I have no problem with Brazil.
Just
I don't even know where Brazil
out.
Is. I'm stupid.
Cut that part out.
Fortunately, I do know where Brazil is. And I have nothing against Brazil. Why would I have anything against Brazil? Should I have something? Is there? You're yawning again.
Maybe because of the vagina.
Well, anyway, I'm sure it's not pronounced vagina. It would be nice if you could call us or write in and phonetically spell it so we know how to pronounce it in the future. Stephanie and Greg Show on Facebook. Thank you.
Thank you for liking us.
He didn't like us. He just wrote a...
Thank you for loving us. Who else wrote to us?
I don't think
maybe anybody. You should just cut out the vagina part.
It's vagina's the name of the city. I can't cut it out. That's up to a doctor to do. He'll tighten it up for you a little bit. Hi, Placido. Oh, it's so great to hear all you guys. I think we need to come back on the air live soon, don't you think?
Yes.
I really do.
If someone would offer us a deal, we'd how's that demo coming?
Listen.
Just give me a demo. I can hand it out to people.
We can go on Talk Radio X Live any day of the week.
Yeah, but I want to get paid.
I'll pay you.
Yeah?
What do you want? I'll do whatever you want. Live radio has to be daily. I don't care what anybody says. You podcast you could do anytime you want, once a week, whatever. And you know, Howard Stern, his network has so many different shows that are on for an hour
a
week.
So why don't
whatever.
You send our Nobody demo listens. To them?
I don't have a demo.
Why don't you have a demo? Right, you've been I'll working it. On it 2 years.
But in the meantime, what do I have to do? Oh, Karen wrote, love and miss you both on Talk Radio X. Aww. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.
Well, that was December 15th. But Rodrigo was just today. Okay, so here we go. Another Uncle Larry update.
Okay.
Uncle Larry was just here, as you know. We spoke about it last week, and we didn't talk about this because we didn't know about it yet. But how did you find out?
Okay, so I was picking
Stephanie
up...
Stephanie has a brother, a retarded brother.
He's not retarded.
He is retarded.
He's not. He's socially retarded.
Well, he's so not, am I, but yeah. He's more retarded than I am.
And he also... Do you think him having the no tooth makes him spit more?
He spits a lot, and he doesn't know how far away to stand when he talks to you. He stands really close.
That's part of the thing, like not knowing socially where to stand. It's boundaries.
And he lost a tooth, and fortunately, he you don't really see it. It's not very prominent.
It's in the front, on the bottom.
Did the kids say anything, our kids?
I told them about it. Oh. They knew.
It doesn't bother me that much. To me, it's not that noticeable.
Oh, okay.
But Stephanie goes over there. She calls me up and she's like, my brother has a growth. And then she takes a picture of it and sends it to me on my phone. And I swear.
Well, first I said, did you eat? Because you should eat before you see
No, this. You shouldn't eat.
No, but
you won't be able to eat.
Right, but I'm saying like you shouldn't have just eaten if I'm sending this. Gives you a barf. Because, you know what happened? I was picking him up. To come over for dinner. And he comes in the lobby and he comes towards me and he has like stains all over his shirt. And I said, you cannot walk around with a shirt like that. You need to spray and wash. You have to make sure you don't have stains. And then I go upstairs to his room and I go, let's change your shirt. Every shirt has stains on it. So I go,
maybe they're
it.
From his leaking growth.
So then I take him across the street to Macy's and we go shopping. And he takes off his shirt because he's trying on different shirts. And I see this giant growth on his back.
Oh, you saw it in Macy's?
Yes. This giant growth. And I go, what the hell is that? And he goes, oh, I don't know. It itches and it burns. And I said, what? I go, Lawrence, how long have you had that? He goes, I don't know, 20 years, 15 years. I go, what? Like, why would you not take care of that? He goes, I don't know. I'm afraid. He goes, I don't want to die. I go, well, if you don't take care of it, you may die. And he goes, I'm scared to have it, and I never wanted, I just live with it. So like for 10, 15 years, it's burning and itching him, and it's gotten bigger and bigger. So I took a picture of it, and me and Greg spent Saturday looking for growths on the internet.
There's nothing, there's no picture on the internet of anything that even remotely resembles this thing.
I think it's a fungus.
Okay.
Rather than a cancer. Because cancers are dark, like and moldy.
Whatever it is.
It's frightening.
It's very big. How big was it about?
It's probably about 3 inches across. And about 2 inches wide. Like 3 inches horizontal. No.
So it's like, wait. Yeah, it's like the size of a small fist.
Yeah, I guess.
and it's crusty. Well, you could see a
picture. Is it green?
You could see a picture of it.
Does it look green, like kind of greenish?
Yes, it's green. It looks like
a fungus. It looks like a fungus. Oh, I'm going to. All right. I think I just dry heaved in my mouth.
Today on the Stephanie and Greg Show, death and vomit.
I said
fungus and death.
I said to my friend, "Do you want to see something really gross?" And she goes, "Yeah, nothing bothers me." I go, "Are you sure? I'm just telling you." She goes, "I'm telling you, I see 100 things." And then I showed her. She's like, "Oh my god! Oh, that's so disgusting!" And it's crusty.
Okay, okay. So you could see a picture of it.
So anyway,
Stephanie and Greg Show.
I brought him to the doctor, to the dermatologist, and even the dermatologist was like, "How long have you had that?" And he's like, "I don't know, 15 years.
The dermatologist jumped out the window.
So anyway, they biopsied, so stay tuned to know what it is.
Yeah.
He's a little nervous, though. But the doctor said if it's cancer, he thinks it's superficial and that it hasn't spread, but he should not sit in the sun anymore, which he does. He sits in the sun and burns his skin. He sits in the sun for 5 hours and puts sunscreen 4 on and says... It says sunscreen.
He didn't know. He really didn't know. He goes to me, he goes, "I really should do what the doctor said, because he said that you shouldn't sit in the sun. I thought that you're supposed to sit in the sun not to get cancer."
No, he didn't
say
that.
Yes, he did.
It doesn't make sense. Does that make sense?
No.
No, he doesn't.
Maybe
think
I should
that.
Listen to him. He's a doctor. That's what he said.
Yeah, but then he says to me, "Of course," he says, "don't sit in the sun. He sees the worst cases." He sees.
Oh, that's because he doesn't want to. He wants to sit in the sun.
He wants to do what he wants to do. All right. So I'll give you the update. Hopefully everything's okay. And he has to have that thing removed. But he was so scared of a shot. I had to hold his hand and because they have to numb it before they do the biopsy. And then I had to look at it. I was like, "Can I just sit over there?" Like, I had to go in the room with him. And they're like both on top. The doctor and him are on top of me. Like basically I'm squished in the corner holding his hand.
I'm so glad I didn't have to go.
Oh my God.
And that's another Uncle Larry update just for you right here on the Stephanie and Greg Show.
All right, can I tell you something else that I have to share with you now?
Oh, no. Are you going to drop a bomb on me?
No. Okay, so...
What else did you buy?
Nothing. So I have these 6 hamsters, dwarf hamsters.
Yeah, she comes up to me yesterday. She goes, "Listen, I got to tell you something. I won't tell you the whole story yet, but in case you go into Noe's room, there's 6 hamsters in there." I was like, "Okay." See you. And then she's like, "See you later," and she leaves.
Okay, so this is what it is. At Maya's school, our daughter's school, the youngest, next door to her classroom, the teacher has hamsters, dwarf hamsters. They're little, the littlest ones. The hamsters had babies, right? So Maya's teacher said, "Oh, go look at the babies. They're really cute." So I go over and I go look at the little hamsters. There's 7 of them. I see the teacher, it was at the end of the day, so no kids were there, just the teacher. And I said, "Oh, I want to see the baby." So she has 7 of them, they're 3 weeks old, in a like fishbowl, separated. And then the mom and the dad are in another cage, and the mom had new babies, like 2-day-old babies.
In the same cage with the mom?
Yes.
Okay.
And the thing is, hamsters can have babies every 2 weeks.
Okay.
I read, or every 3 weeks. And they start reproducing at like 3 weeks, 4 weeks old, because they only have a lifespan of about 2 years. All right. So I see the 3-week-old baby separated, in one cage, and then in the other cage is the mom, the dad, and five newborns, 2 days old. So I say, oh, what do you do? Why are they separated? She goes, I'm just going to put them in nature.
What?
I'm going to put them in nature.
What does that mean?
She's going to put them out in the playground.
Why were they separated?
She's going to let them die. Put them out. In nature. She was going to kill them.
This is a teacher?
Yes.
Is she retarded too?
What? I was shocked.
How old is this woman?
I don't know, 40 something.
Is she mentally stable?
I don't know this teacher at all. This is my first.
Did she already let some go?
I have no idea. This is the first time I walked in exactly the moment she was.
Because yesterday, Noe said to me that teacher put some of them already out in nature.
No, I don't know if she. I don't know yet. I don't know if she did that. I can't.
So what did you say?
I said, what? And she goes, yeah, it's just part of life. I go, no, it isn't. I go,
what if I hit you over the head with a club? Is that part of life too?
It's not the circle of life. The circle of life is already out there. You don't put stuff out there. These are animals.
They're pets. They're not.
That's animals.
Hamsters aren't like found in nature, are they?
No, they're like breeded for pets.
Yeah.
Or I guess for snakes to eat, but mice, they usually use mice.
All right, listen, it's not that big of a deal. But
to me it was.
Well, for a teacher, though.
Well, first of all, she keeps breeding them and then just throwing them out in nature.
Why?
Because she's friggin' insane. Because she wants the kids to see babies, which is lovely, but they don't know that they're getting thrown out.
Are you kidding? Did you tell the director?
No. Well, what happened was, I was shocked. Okay? So the next day, I go to her, please, don't do anything. Okay? I'm coming back tomorrow. I'm taking these babies. Do not put them out. And she's like, okay.
Is that why you asked me for a fish tank?
Yeah. So she put them in the bowl. She put them back. I came back the next day with a fish bowl and litter. And I go, okay, I'm going to take them. And I said to her, I go, you know, and then there are five new babies. And I go, let me take the male. So we separate them or just separate them. She goes, no, I don't want to. I don't want to separate them. I want them to keep having babies. Meanwhile, if that hamster keeps having babies, it's going to die because you can't have, it has to nurse, you know?
Oh, so how do you know that?
I read, all of a sudden I'm an expert on hamsters because I read all about it on the internet. So I said, just give me the male so that I could give her a break for the summer. I go, I'll bring him back in September.
So you had to trick her into...
She wouldn't give it to me.
Oh my gosh.
She said, no, I'm not separate them. I said, do you understand what you're doing is animal cruelty? It really
You said that to her?
Yes. I said, this is animal cruelty. It's animal neglect and cruelty. You're breeding them and then setting them out to die. And you know, willingly and knowingly breeding them and knowing you're going to have them die. She goes, no, it isn't. It's just nature. So I have to go talk to the director. I want them to take them away from her. It's like an abusive parent. I am never a teacher. Meanwhile, she puts them out in the playground. What if kids like find these hamsters dead, you know? And then you attract cats. Now you have stray cats and poop and birds and... I mean, there's so many levels of how it's wrong. I don't even know where to begin. But fundamentally, breeding and then just discarding them like they're trash, to me, is...
Well, I don't think she means it in a bad way. She probably thinks they'll acclimate to nature.
No, she doesn't. No, she doesn't.
She knows they're going to die.
Of course. Three-week-old hamsters in the wild? They're not bred to... They're not wild animals.
Yeah, but how do you know she doesn't know that?
She knows that. I said, they're going to die. She goes, oh, well, that's nature. I said, they can't survive outside in the... Oh, well, you know, that's part of nature.
And what does she tell the kids?
She doesn't tell them anything.
She doesn't tell... Do the kids see her let them out?
No. She does it after school. She was just about to do
it. And when the kids come the next day and go, where's the rest of
Maybe she just lies and says, oh, I gave them to a pet store. I don't know what she tells them. I'm just so shocked. it's now I have this information for 2 days, so I'm a little, I've you know, already integrated it. But when I first heard it, I was like floored. And then my Maya's teacher, I told our daughter's teacher, and she goes, "She's just kidding." And I
what? Go,
she couldn't believe that she was putting them out. She thought that I misunderstood her.
Oh, this is the other teacher.
Yeah, our daughter's teacher said, "Oh, she's just
so kidding." It's the classroom next to hers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So now I want to steal that male hamster.
Well, so now we have these hamsters in our house.
We have six hamsters because she said one of them someone was taking, but I don't believe
they're
her.
They're really small and they're really cute. I never really looked at a hamster. I never had a hamster.
These are dwarfs, so these are different. They're smaller.
They're really cute. This morning when I went in there, they were waking up and they were jumping. Like they were standing on their hind legs and jumping up and like trying to say good morning
and stuff. They're cute. I do have to separate them though, the male and female, because they could mate already. I think they could start mating at 3 or 4 weeks.
Lucky.
Anyway, do you believe that? That's insane. Isn't that a little like...
There, a couple of years ago, we talked about this too, that... one of the teachers at that school was talking about how she taught her son how to ejaculate. Remember? This is Los Angeles, I'm afraid.
No,
I don't know if it's the whole world.
I think there's always nutty, but I don't know that.
There's so many nutty people here. I don't know what goes on.
I don't know. I got to talk to the director. Now I have to have a conversation about the hamsters. No, a couple of years ago, Lonnie's teacher, a bunch of mothers were just talking about our older kids. You know, we have boys. And she's like, "Oh, yeah, I had to show my son." Like, she didn't touch her son, but I guess her son was like hitting his private area. And she just showed him the motion of masturbating with her hand because he was hitting it. So I had to tell the director about that. She was horrified. I'm always like in the wrong place at the wrong time. Like, I don't know why. Like, the moment she's putting out these hamsters, I'm there. Like, the moment she's letting them free.
Now, what about your friend? I guess it was about a year ago, we talked about this woman who you started a fight with. Oh, it was about 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Her daughter was disturbing our daughter's birthday party
yeah.
And the mother didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And you confronted her.
Yes.
And gave her a hard time.
Yes.
And she got angry at you.
Yes.
And now she's like your
now
best friend.
Now she acted like nothing ever happened.
I told you that would happen.
That's what she does. She has confrontation and problem with everyone, and then she just forgets it. I actually like the daughter. I like the daughter.
The one that was disturbing the party?
I do. I actually like her. You know,
she's not a bad kid.
She's not a bad kid. It's the mother. But maybe I don't know. She just had another baby, so maybe...
She has three girls now.
Yeah. So whatever, I don't know.
Okay, whatever.
I like
them. I just
them.
Hope that nothing
I
else
just don't
want to
get
them.
Too involved.
No, because she's... I don't know what her... You should know what her deal is. Like, she's one of these people that says the most inappropriate things. Like, the first time I met her, she was like... You're a great husband. My husband would never come to dance class or whatever, but he comes now.
He does. He seems to have stepped it up a little bit. I don't know why, but
I'm like, why are you telling me this, lady? I don't even know you.
I know. I don't know. I just listen. If I could keep it cordial and not get too involved, I'll be much happier.
Okay. Does she fight with other people?
Everyone.
Okay. So, in other words, you should appreciate this friend, even though she's annoying, because she's part of the dash in your life.
No. I don't need... No, I want to just step away.
That's also part of the dash. Like, you need to know who you're going to keep in your life.
I'm not keeping her.
And who
you're
going to...
I have to deal with her. I don't reach out to her. She's just around because our kids... go to dance school together and school together. I do not want a connection and I don't reach out.
Okay.
But I'll be nice because that's what I do. You know what I'm even going to do? And my friend, I'm going to help the 8th grade culmination. Like, I'm going to help them set up for their breakfast, even though you know who is in there. But I thought about it and I said it's going to make me uncomfortable that they're going to be there. How do we say who they are? You know who.
Well, we have to just explain that we okay. had a really good friend who used to be on the show with us, and he turned against us, basically bullied us on Facebook, lied to the principal of the school and told them that I was a drug addict and I should be kept away from children, and we had to sue him and do a whole thing. I've done my best to avoid him because mm-hmm. it just makes me nauseous on so many levels. The kids still remember their kids, especially our middle daughter. Always says that, and I know what's going to happen. They're going to see each other one day, and they're going to want to reconnect. And we're going to have to figure out how to go about handling that.
They're not going to see each other.
Yeah, they will.
When?
They'll run into each other somewhere with us,
mm-hmm.
and they'll go, oh, so-and-so, yeah. You know what I mean?
No, but he may have told his kids stay away from them. They did something terrible.
He did tell them that.
Right, so they're not going to come over to us.
Okay.
The kids are
but what if one of our kids goes over to them?
I don't know.
That's the other thing. We would never do that. Like, we would never tell our kids.
No, we don't involve our kids in that.
He went and told his kids that we were bad people and to stay away from us.
Yeah.
When they saw me the first time when this was happening, they were like running in the opposite direction. Who knows what he said to them?
Yeah, he's a freak. But anyway, I'm going to help. And if it makes them uncomfortable, too bad.
You know, let me say something about...
And they're going to be there. Hold on. So they're going to be there. And my friend asked me to help because they need help. And I vacillated between thinking I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Wait, the parents are going to be there or the kids in eighth grade
Both.
Are going to be there?
Both.
Okay.
And I said, I'm not going to stop helping my friend who asked for help and helping those other eighth grade parents because of these jerk-offs.
Okay.
You know? Too bad. And if I'm uncomfortable, I'll deal with it. But I'm not going to have them control me.
No.
You know?
You should make them feel uncomfortable.
Well, I don't want to do that either, you know?
No, but listen, they should feel
they
uncomfortable.
They created it, so they'll have to deal with whatever they get.
Right.
And that's it.
And they were even chastised at the school for using Facebook to gossip and create lies about people on Facebook.
Yeah.
And I know you wish we could have taken them to court.
I really wanted to go further.
And I said no.
It would have made me so happy.
I felt bad for him in a lot of ways.
I don't feel bad for him.
I do, because he doesn't realize what he's doing.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He damaged us.
He didn't damage us.
He damaged me.
He didn't damage you.
Yes, he did. I feel uncomfortable at Noah's school. Mm. I don't feel safe there. I don't feel free like I do at the other schools. I'm damaged there. I feel unsafe. I feel I don't know who knows, who thinks what he
Nobody
said is
thinks
true.
Anything. Nobody even saw what he wrote.
He has friends that don't know me.
That's bullshit. They all know, more people know you than will ever know him.
Yeah, I guess.
And all more right. people know how great you are. And everybody thinks he's a freak anyway. They always have.
I know, that's true. Anyway. So
and we went and looked past that because that's the type of people we are. Like, we always thought that they were, you know, they're like the kind of like the Addams family.
They're weird.
And, you know.
Does he give you the finger?
He did give me the finger once. I was looking in my rearview mirror and he was behind me and I saw him give me the finger. I was like, holy crap.
I would wave.
This guy just doesn't. No, I don't want to have anything to do with
him.
No,
but I think that'd be funny if someone gives you the finger and then you wave like you're happy. Like, it doesn't bother you. That would make him madder, you know?
The thing he wants most is my attention, and he does not want to be ignored, and that's all he's getting.
And it's so sad, because you don't really let a lot of people in to be your friend.
Well, I let him in because he acts very caring, and yet he's not. Like, and I should have known that from the beginning. The first time I met him, he was talking about how much he likes lemons and that he doesn't have a lemon tree. Did I tell you this?
No.
And so I went home. We had a big lemon tree in the back of our house at that time. And I picked a whole bunch of lemons And he, oh, actually, I said, oh, I'll bring you some lemons. He goes, oh, cool. I'll bring you some oranges. I have an orange tree. Mm-hmm. And I brought him lemons, and he never, ever brought me oranges. Part of it is because he forgot. He's on so much medication.
And he smokes pot all day long.
And takes Ambien. Anyway, that's beyond the point.
Well, the only reason I'm talking about it is it's Friday that
so,
I'm helping.
You know, listen, you're an amazing person. You could handle it.
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm not going to talk to them.
No.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it, but report back on next week's show.
I will.
Trip them.
Right. Should I spit in their food?
Yeah.
In their scrambled eggs?
Yeah. Scrambled egg.
I don't know. They're having a breakfast. I don't know what they have. All right. Gotta go.
Enjoy your dash, everybody.
I love Brazil, by the way.
I like Brazil, too. And I love vagina Brazil.
Bye.
Greg and Stephanie's Life is Meaningless.